This episode of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura Wiffler and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me.
Hello.
And today we are talking about somewhat of a sensitive topic. Emily and I are hoping to have a bit of a discussion starter today all about money and materialism and resources and how we spend it and how we think about it. It gets kind of messy in there. But before we do that, we did want to just let you guys know about some free resources we have on our website.
Yeah, if you go to risenmotherhood.com/abide, you will find some great free Bible study resources there. We give some simple tutorials. There's even printables that go along for your kids that are really beautiful and we hope are very helpful. So if you're getting ready to go into the Christmas winter season here without any formal Bible studies at church and you need something to do, we have something for you. You can just click download and print. So definitely head over there.
Yeah, so as I mentioned today, we are talking about money, and Emily and I have been learning a lot, especially as we prepared for this show. So we want to share with you guys some takeaways, and we want to like start off recognizing that this is literally a discussion starter. There is no way that we can cover the gamut of money and all the things that go into it, especially as a believer. But what we want to talk about today is just how does the gospel reshape our financial priorities in motherhood, especially because if you're like us, motherhood can feel really, really, really expensive.
Yeah, and it was interesting. As we were processing this, one of the questions that came up first was, what even gives us like our idea of the right kind of motherhood and what we should be putting our financial resources into? And so we just thought of a few that are familiar for us. One, and probably the most primary, being just the culture around us, like whatever our friends at church are valuing with their financial resources or in our local community, in our neighborhoods, and even like online. I know we fall into different subsets on social media, and sometimes whatever I'm seeing those moms having in their homes or their kids are wearing, it feels like that's what my kids need to be wearing in order to have that good mom life.
Yeah. Yeah. And also your upbringing. I mean, just whatever your parents were valuing, whatever they instilled in you, or maybe you want to do the opposite of what your parents did. I know sometimes that happens. And then for just us personally, you know, what are those things that you personally worship or that you value? So we're going to give a couple examples. And no, we are stereotyping here just to make a point. So we are picking on ourselves.
Yeah. We're included somewhere in this list. Yes. Maybe you'll be able to guess where. But we thought this was helpful as we just consider, hey, what's our ultimate aim in mind and how does that drive what we go spend money on today? So for some people, it's thinking, hey, if I have the best sports training for my child and the best sports gear, that's going to equal like a college scholarship or like professional athlete status.
Another one is just investment in creativity and the arts, maybe like special lessons or investing in really expensive instruments. And
that's a future worship leader right there.
Most definitely. Don't we all want our kid to be the one up on stage?
Oh no, I want a well-rounded, sophisticated adult from that equation. Another one is just trendy clothes, thinking that, hey, that's going to gain my child popularity or social acceptance, or even like the admiration of the other moms around you. Like, oh, look how cute and
they're so adorable.
I know. I almost want that compliment.
Oh, you do. I mean, we all do, not just you. You know, kind of that European farmhouse style living. So this is the one that we see on Instagram and we're all just like, how do they do it? The wooden toys, the genuine leather saddle shoes, the floral dresses. You know, it's one of those things that just looks so simple and quaint. And we're all like, how do I get that?
Yeah. Like if I just spend money on that dress, will we have a simpler life? Or maybe your kids aren't older yet. I know even in those little years, thinking that the stylish baby wraps or the highly rated strollers or like this year's diaper bag, which frustratingly literally changes every year.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to mean you were a cool mom. You don't look ordinary. You don't look like motherhood has messed
you up. You don't even look like
a
mom. You just can't even look like a mom.
We can easily fall into that. Or even like education. I think when we look ahead and totally naturally, rightly want our children to, you know, experience some level of success. And we think we can buy that for them with the right type of education or frequent trips to the museum, purchasing all the science kits, or maybe even investing in like private school tuition.
Yeah, or another one is just having a nanny or a house cleaner or the grocery delivery. This, as moms, we often value comfort and freedom to have this convenient life that we want, and we justify it in a lot of ways. And sometimes it's necessary, sometimes it's not. Or maybe you're somebody who's very intentionally frugal and you budget and you know, you're just the master of sales and coupon clipping. This is the person that I am not, although I very much sometimes wish that I could be, but there's always another side to that. Of course, having a tight grip on every penny that goes in and out, or wanting that financial security and control. That's kind of what it equates to. And even an admiration from others who maybe don't manage money quite as well as you.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like as we were constructing these examples, we were like, this could go on and on and on. But the point of this was just to show just this connection between our actions and spending and how they actually reveal what our hearts treasure. And Jesus talks about that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So it's really important that we see this tangible connecting line between how we're spending our money and what it is that we often value and treasure.
Yeah, and we want to make a quick note here that you may be someone who's just barely getting by. And as you're hearing us talk about this stuff, you might be eye rolling pretty hard because you're just trying to make sure that everyone has their basic needs met right now. We actually received a note from somebody that was really helpful for Emily and I, especially as we admit we kind of speak from a middle class lifestyle. So just so you guys know where we're coming from, but we heard from a mom and we felt like this was really, really helpful and good perspective to keep in mind. And she just says, it's so easy for me to fall into bitterness and envy when I see other families who can take their children to museums, music lessons, swim lessons, etc. Mothers who have regular weekly help with their children from their mother-in-laws, and I don't have anybody, even though I also work full-time from home. Mothers who can provide clothing and seasonal decor and fun activities for their children when I can't because there's no discretionary money in the budget for even clothing. Bitterness, anger, jealousy, I'm fighting against this every day.
Mm-hmm. So we want to just acknowledge that at some level, we all struggle with this desire to acquire material things. And sometimes that desire is really good and normal. And it's born of this desire to provide for our children, which is right and good. And other times it's born out of just this discontentment, feeling like, you know, if my financial burdens were gone, then I'd finally be happy and I could be a good mom to our kids. Or maybe if you know, you have plenty of financial resources. You are kind of thoughtlessly, again, doing that if then, thinking if I spend money on A, B, and C, then my child is going to have the life that I want them to have, or I'm going to be the type of mom that I really want to be.
It's interesting how money and really just like this, just sin, it levels us all, right? Like none of us really deal with anything in life perfectly. And it doesn't matter if you have too much, if you have too little, or you have just a medium amount, feeling like Goldilocks here. But no matter what you have for income and finances, it's hard because I think that Satan uses it to manipulate our heart motivations and just make things really hard, and our sin manifests out of it. But one side note I think that's interesting too is that if you're having a lot of if-then statements in your mind, it's usually a really good indication of what we think we need to be content or joyful mm-hmm. or justified. As Emily was saying, we kind of are thinking, oh, if I do this, then I'll be a better mom, or I'll be a good mom, or my kids will be more set up for the future. So this is a hard conversation that we're having today, but we still hope that the gospel hope we're going to share in a minute reaches you in a very new and convicting way, and that you take away some hope from today's show.
Mm-hmm. So in creation, this is always a very stark reminder that God owns everything. Every resource originally belongs to Him. He's the one that breathes everything into existence. And so when you create it, right, that's what we tell our toddler, like, you built that tower, your brother cannot come in and destroy it. The Creator does have that special authority. And ultimately, He gave us all the good gifts in creation to worship Him alone. And his intention was that people would find their worth and their value in him and enjoy him the most. And what I think is interesting is wherever we look in scripture to see God's design for finances, it's always rooted in his agenda, in his desires. When he does give riches, it's for the purpose of, you know, saying, hey, we're going to pull these together and build the tabernacle or the temple, a place to worship me, or give sacrifices, or hey, set aside some of this for the poor who are among you. His design always assumes that like we are going to serve him first and not serve our money, and that he has all of our allegiance. So it's really only when we get into the fall, which we'll touch on next, that we see that tool that's a very good gift as being something that's used wrongly for our own ends.
Yeah. And as Emily mentioned, because of the fall, when Adam and Eve, you know, took a hold of God's resources for their own purposes and their own gain through eating the fruit, they are banished from the garden. And now they are sent out to live in a world that's corrupted by both sin that we act out and also just a fallen world and the state that we live in. And because of our sin, our hearts don't want God. They want stuff or experiences or cute dresses or little bows or soccer balls, whatever that may be, little idols that we use to replace God. And as moms, we believe we have the power to make our children happy and give them this roadmap to success. You know, and society tells us, well, that roadmap, that's going to cost you money. And we're told that in order to make them good people or to make them accepted in school or to be the popular kids, hey, that costs money too. And that is going to be expensive because you need to buy these clothes, you need to put them in these lessons, you need to do all of these things. And we buy into that lie, thinking that our success and our goodness as a mother is measured by our ability to give them a certain lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that our freedom, our greatest good, the thing that would turn us into like the best citizens of the world, the most successful people, the most joyful, happy children, wasn't something that could be purchased with money or his created goods. God pays the greatest cost in the life and punishment of his own son. So where we have used like our monetary resources for our gain and for our glory, God turns around and he gives his most precious son for our gain and for his glory. So it's really interesting that he understands our need goes beyond these physical things, and he sees the needs of our hearts. And like, yes, those physical things are important, but he says, seek the kingdom of God first. He is gracious to meet our needs, even in lean seasons, but he wants to ultimately teach us that our wandering hearts will never, ever be fully satisfied except in him. So instead of focusing on giving us stuff, God gives us himself.
Yes. And something else that I love is when we get to consummation, there's going to be streets of gold, foundations of precious stone, gates of pearl. You know, kind of the thought would be, well, geez, we're going to be wanting to worship that. It's going to be so beautiful. That's what we're going to want. We're going to be idolizing that. But even with all of that around us, our hearts will finally be content. We'll be worshiping and focusing and desiring only God, because we're going to fully see his presence and we're going to fully see his glory. And it'll sort of be laughable that we ever desired anything else in this life. So we'll finally fully live out that first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might.
Ah, oh, praise the Lord. Looking forward to that. So just to keep this conversation moving towards a little bit more practical principles, again, knowing that like there's no way we can cover all the ideas in this show, a few principles would be, first off, that Christ is the greatest treasure we'll ever have. And it sounds a little bit like I'm saying it to a little child, Christ is the greatest treasure you'll ever have. But it's true for us too. And it's something we need to take hold of and remember. In the Gospels, in Matthew 13, we see this parable of the hidden treasure. And Jesus talks about the kingdom of God being like this treasure hidden in a field. And when this man finds it, he sells everything he has to go buy this field because the most precious thing is there. And so I think that is true of our lives too, that whenever we realize the value of Christ, we can really elevate him above all the other earthly treasures that we have.
Yeah. So as some practical takeaways, just remembering that this starts with us, you know, making sure, is our treasure truly Christ? Is that what our kids are seeing? What would they say if we asked them? As we're communicating our values to our children, let's make sure that we're encouraging them to hope in Christ alone, not in their achievements or the worldly things that money can buy. And no matter what, just remember that you can have that treasure of Christ no matter how much is in your bank account.
And just a little side note, I've noticed a great time to do that is like at birthday parties or after Christmas when they've gotten a lot of new stuff and they are still not satisfied. You're like, guess what? You just got all the things you ever wanted and you are still not happy. Why do you think that is? And it leads to a great conversation about how none of that stuff is ever really going to satisfy them.
Mm. Good mom truth right there. That's a great practical nugget there.
Just throwing it out there.
Okay, so another principle that we see is that everything belongs to God. We are just stewards of the things that he's given us. You know, Psalms and Proverbs talks about this a lot. The earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. So when we think about a steward, it's someone who uses and wisely cares for something that belongs to someone else. We're just holding on to it. And as we talked about previously, God is the one who casts the vision and designs how we should be using our money. So in the Bible, he's asked us to use our resources to support the spread of the gospel. So that's through church and missionaries, to help the poor, the widow, the vulnerable, and to love others and invest well for the gain of the kingdom.
Yeah. So I know, like, as I hear these things, I immediately kind of clench up and start to question every single spending habit I have. So there's a lot of room for personal conscience here, for working this out in community, working this out with your own husband. But just for the mom who's listening, a takeaway would be just to ask questions and say, like, do my purchases and the lifestyle that I'm building reflect God's desire for his kingdom? That's a scary question to ask. And again, like, be on the same page with your husband. I think that that is a really difficult conversation to have at times, but it's important. Like, when you see that red flag, oftentimes I know my husband this fall, in fact, he goes, are you planning on buying any more clothes this fall? Because I feel like there's been a lot coming in lately. And it was a really gentle way of reminding me, Emily, you have enough. Let's stop. And we moved on. I didn't buy any more fall clothes.
Okay, and the last principle, the only things that last are God, his word, and his people. This is really helpful for me in all of life, not just money. But God cautions us against falling in love with certain lifestyles or a certain image, things that the world touts as significant. So if you're anything like me, I can kind of get caught up in that Instagram-worthy living, feeling like I need, as Emily said, some, you know, cute new fall trendy clothes, or that I want to have, oh, this great meal for dinner tonight, and it needs to be these type of ingredients, or these are the new hot toys for Christmas. And a lot of times those things, as we chase after them in our hearts and in our minds, they're taking us away from our love of God. And we're not recognizing what really matters, what is eternal. It's God, his word, and his people.
Mm-hmm. So just some good takeaway questions for this is just to evaluate, like, what do my spending choices show about what I love? And just asking that question, like, am I investing primarily in the things that are going to last for eternity? What am I in love with? Is it that, you know, being trendy or having these toys, or is it furthering God's mission and his kingdom? So we know there are, like, many, many more things that could be said on this topic, but we really hope this is just a small start to get conversations started, whether it's with your husband at home or maybe in a small group with your local church or just other moms that you meet and talk about the gospel with, to discuss, like, how do our hearts shape what we spend?
Yeah. And as a response, I mean, we're hopeful that you're willing to ask yourself the hard questions. I think money is one of those uncomfortable topics that we sort of just all want to squirm away from when we feel the pressure on, or maybe some conviction or some guilt with the way that we've been spending our money. And so we hope that you're willing, as Emily said, like, to discuss these things and then maybe take action. And just remember that the Bible says no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money.
So we hope that just scratches the surface for you guys, and that there are some good reminders that everything we have belongs to the Lord and we are to glorify him with what we have. So you can find more about this at risenmotherhood.com or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Risen Motherhood. Thanks for joining us, guys.